Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Hello there, you're welcome along to Tuesday evenings Off the Ball. Joe Malloy with you between now and 10 o'clock. Rather tasty Champions League lineup coming your way. We have Erling Haaland trying on the Etihad for size against Manchester City. Liverpool are in Madrid. Miguel Delaney with us ahead of kickoff, and then Damien Delaney between 9 and 10 on the football show. Between 8 and 9 then, an interview with Trish Kearney. Trish, a brilliant young swimmer, was abused by George Gibney in the 1980s, started when she was 13 years of age, continued for 6 years. You'll have heard her story on the Where is George Gibney podcast. And now she's put everything down in print, so she's on to talk about her brilliant new book, Above Water. So Trish Kearney with us at 8 o'clock. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter as well. Richie McCormack, as ever, with us. Hello.
How are you, Joe? And, you've got your name. It's been a while.
Hi, Richie. Joe here.
Hi, you're right.
Yeah, good to meet you. Good to meet you. Dan McDonald, hello to you of the Irish Independent, of course, Dan.
Yes, good to meet you, lads.
Extra hour in the air, Dan. Masters week, Champions League knockout stages, you know, amidst the towering inferno that is the world at the moment. There are a few crumbs of comfort for us.
Oh yeah, Aintree racing this week as well. I'm excited about that too. I mean, Masters week is big for you, Joe. This is Christmas, everything rolling together. I'd say, but your outfit's done. Red big shirt for the couch on Sunday, I'd say.
Big for us all, no, Dan? A big week for all of us. Come on.
Listen, to be honest, I've booked work off on Sunday, so I can't really complain. Okay. It's having been stuck working a couple of years ago when Tiger won, because was there some issue with timing that it was finished earlier that day, or they were sort of worried about storms or something, so it was like 7-8 in the evening. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake. You know, biggest sports story in years, and you're chasing John Delaney around the FAI or something like that. Big regret. So,
is there no end to that? What that man has done to you, Dan?
That was when it all started. Yeah. What do you remember, Red Tiger? What do you remember, Red Tiger winning? Well, I remember people trying to figure out if John Delaney had read from the FAI or not. So happy memories. But no, listen, to be honest, it is good. There's crowds at the Masters, isn't there?
Yeah, they reckon between 5,000 and 10,000 patrons, of course, not fans.
Oh, of course,
patrons.
Yeah.
So there are, yeah. It'll be much better than November, which wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't bad. It's 4 days in November ago during the pandemic. It wasn't bad to have the Masters, but it wasn't quite the Masters. So we'll talk about that tomorrow on the show. And already on Golf Weekly today, we came at you early. We have Paul McGinley, about an hour with Paul McGinley recorded. So get on to Patreon if you want to check that out. This evening, Champions League is very, very tasty. Manchester City against Dortmund, of course, with the subplot that is Haaland. And then Real Madrid host Liverpool. Miguel Delaney is going to join us before kickoff. He wrote a very interesting piece, Dan, about Haaland yesterday in the London Independent, where effectively he spent a day last week just watching all of Erling Haaland's 104 goals.
Mm.
What really jumped out is that, for instance, of the 104 goals, Haaland scores a lot of tap-ins, 30. To be exact, headers from inside 6 yards as well, and there's 7 of them. So really like a third of his goals are just tap-ins into an empty net. And he spoke to a couple of people who saw Haaland come through. And Haaland growing up, because he was so talented as much as anything, played with older boys and so was generally the runt of the litter. He was shorter and skinnier than everybody and so had to rely on very clever movement. Now, the fact that he has turned into a 6'4" beast has been very helpful, as you can imagine. But it means he's the full package, was the point being made by those who had coached him growing up, that the craft came before the brute force. And so Miguel's point was really this guy would be just perfect for Man City in terms of the types of goals he scores. Lots of them are getting on the end of intricate five-a-side-esque moves and tapping the ball into an empty net. His percentage in terms of goals inside the box, outside the box, headers, etc., was incredibly similar to Aguero. And so that's an interesting point, which you suspect has probably jumped out to Man City when they've been looking at him.
Well, yeah, I mean, how could you not sort of want him, I suppose, in their event? But I know what you're saying. It's not just, like, sometimes it's not a case that just a great striker is ultimately a fit for every team, but it is sort of striking. Like, we were speaking a couple of weeks back during the game where he had that goal disallowed, and in a way, I saw Miguel's piece, and the stat was surprising. But then when you think about it, the stat as regards the percentage of tap-ins, but it's not just even his movement and awareness, but even his ability to, like, you know, to out-muscle players, you know, to react quickest to that loose ball in the area, to shove someone out and away, all the different types of tap-ins he can score. Like, it is a sort of a complete package that he offers. But I mean, I completely see what you're saying in terms of the City aspect, that it's not as if he's going to be in some way not suited to their sort of speed of thought. And as you say, the five-a-side style of goals, like, he does have this sort of ability to find himself in the right position. But I would say even just his physicality contributes to a lot of the close-range goals he scores as well, because you just see him in these individual sort of competitions and in these battles. He tends to win a lot of them as well, too. I mean, it is sort of... It feels like we are gearing up all right for this type of move, which will show us that a deflated pandemic transfer market doesn't exist for certain players.
Yeah. Well, Guardiola said they're not going to pay £100 million for a player, but we'll see, I think, is the point there. Rich, I know the Champions League football this evening is where you're starting your news round on Off the Ball on News Talk, with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made it what matters. And you're starting over in Madrid. Jurgen Klopp's been talking.
Yeah, and Klopp insists revenge is not in his mind ahead of tonight's Champions League quarterfinal first leg. They play Real Madrid for the first time since the 2018 final, which the Spanish giants won after Mo Salah was taken out of the game by Sergio Ramos. Ramos is absent tonight through injury, as is his regular defensive partner Rafael Varane, who tested positive for COVID-19 in the lead-in to the game. Just to give you the lineups for it, Real Madrid go with Thibaut Courtois in goal, a back four of Lucas Vazquez, Nacho, Adrian Militao and Ferland Mendy. In midfield, and it's Casemiro, Toni Kroos, Luka Modric, and a front three of Marco Asensio, Vinicius Jr. and Karim Benzema. For Liverpool, Alisson starts in goal for them. It's a back four of Trent Alexander-Arnold, Nat Phillips, Ozan Kabak and Andy Robertson. In midfield, it's Jorginho, Wijnaldum, Fabinho and Naby Keita, who's picked ahead of Thiago, who's on the bench tonight. Diogo Jota comes in for Roberto Firmino, and he completes a front three alongside Mo Salah and Sadio Mane. Klopp, not thinking about revenge, just wants to continue their recent momentum.
In general, it's no revenge. We are not on a revenge tour here. Life is like this. You try everything to win a game, you lose it, and then you meet the opponent again one day. And sometimes it's close enough, like a week later, 2 weeks later, and you can have this kind of emotion still in you. But I don't believe too much in revenge, but it would be nice to get through against Real Madrid, because that would mean we are in the next round, and that's actually what we want to do. And they are outstanding, and Zinedine and the boys, they know exactly how it goes. So, no, we are not here for revenge. And actually, has nothing to do with the Premier League situation as well. We feel quite in a good moment, in the moment in the Premier League. So we had good games before the international break, came out with a really good game after the national break, and now we hope we can keep that momentum, obviously. And that would be very helpful, because we should play better, a really good game tomorrow night. Otherwise, we don't have a chance.
Determined to show the world how good we are is another line Klopp had, is how he's framing this final part of the season. So, you know, fourth place in the Premier League is suddenly within 3 points again. Champions League knockout stages get the juices flowing. As Richie says, no Varane this evening and Sergio Ramos already injured. So that centre of the Madrid defence looking vulnerable. And no surprise, Dan, he's put in Jota. It's hard to leave somebody out who almost guarantees goals at the moment.
Oh, listen, he's in great form, and I suppose you mentioned it, there's that vulnerability there. I mean, I suppose the flip side is Liverpool still have Kabak and Phillips, you know, and central defence, so you sort of feel like this could be an entertaining game either way. And even, I see, you know, Keita have been picked ahead of Thiago, suggests it's going to be a sort of a intensive midfield press, a high-energy type of game. So we'll see, yeah. I mean, like, the extent to which sort of, I mean, away goals still technically matter, you know, because of the other rules of the competition, even though the extent to which it feels relevant in the sense of, you know, closed doors games and the real impact of home away. You can debate it, but it is a factor. And you sort of feel like it's shaping up to be an entertaining, high-scoring game tonight. It's sort of striking, I mean, the revenge angle. I mean, I suppose it is a couple of years since they've played each other. I mean, we're only a couple of years away from the new Swiss format and the inevitable move towards all of these clubs playing each other all of the time in such a way that it's rammed down our throat and things don't really have any meaning because they play each other so regularly. So maybe it's nice that it's a couple of years that since they've had a game and there's a real sense of occasion around the meeting of these sides. And maybe I'm just going off on a slight tangent on my own rants, but it feels like we're in like the last couple of years of Champions League as it was, which is an absolutely fantastic competition with a sense of anticipation around some of these ties. It's not going to be, I think, you know, it's going to be a very different competition a decade from now, and we might miss these type of rare matchups because that's what they are.
Cynical John has texted in, calls himself Cynical John. Much as I love the Masters, I'm dreading the amount of times Jim Nance and co are going to send best wishes to Tiger. They won't be able to resist. I suspect you're right, actually. Van Nistelrooy made a living out of tap-ins. What's your point, Joe? ? Yikes. Okay.
That wasn't from Cynical John, was it? Or that was from someone else?
Someone else.
Angry John.
Maybe Angry John. Yeah. Maybe I didn't explain myself very well. I suppose with Haaland, given his 6'4" bustling frame, we associate him with brute force and knocking people out of the way and making, you know, brilliant athletic runs and scoring goals that way. You know, these dramatic moments. His goal against PSG last year jumps to mind. The tapping point really is a testament to his movement. I think that was the point in Miguel's piece, that actually to be on the end of those tappings, like the good example you meant, Van Nistelrooy. Here you mentioned Van Nistelrooy. There's a cleverness there. And Haaland has that because growing up he had to use his craft and his nous to get in those positions and get on the end of moves and time those runs and find space in the box, which is difficult to do. So he can do all of that as well as the more dramatic stuff that the 6'4" beast mode Haaland can do. So that was my point. It was a compliment. Nothing wrong with tap-ins, Richie.
No, absolutely not. Manchester City's quest for an historic quadruple continues tonight. Pep Guardiola side, as you mentioned, entertaining Borussia Dortmund in the first leg of their Champions League quarter-final. City line up with Ederson in goal, and then a back four of Kyle Walker, Ruben Dias, John Stones and João Cancelo. In midfield, it's Rodri, Ilkay Gundogan and Bernardo Silva, with Riyad Mahrez and Phil Foden up top alongside the false nine of Kevin De Bruyne. For Dortmund, Marvin Hitz starts in goal. They've then got a back four of Mathieu Mori, Mats Hummels, Manuel Akanji and Rafael Guerrero. In midfield, it's Emre Can, Mahmoud Dahoud and Jude Bellingham, with Ansgar Knauf, the surprise pick ahead of Thorgan Hazard, in support of Marco Reus and Erling Haaland. 2 years ago, Guardiola said his tenure at City will be judged on whether or not he wins European football's biggest prize. He seems to have backtracked a bit since then.
We are already a big club. Not team, a big club, organization. We are already. But of course, everyone's here. Myself first, the players want to try to do it better than we have done in this competition through the history from Man City, and especially since we are together. So of course we want to do it, but for the fact we want to do it, want to, we are not going to do it if we don't play good or play better than BVB. So at the end, it's a football game, 11 against 11, unfortunately without the spectators, and we're going to do our game as best as possible.
So 4-2-3-1 for a City, as Richie was saying, Rodri and Gundogan in midfield, and then it's Mahrez, De Bruyne and Foden and Bernardo Silva. It's quite something when, for a game of this magnitude, Dan, you can leave Sterling on the bench, you can have Aguero on the bench, you can have Jesus on the bench.
But that's been the story of their season though, really, isn't it? You know, the ability to rotate at given times, and that's why they are where they are. And Sterling, it's obscene, like, really, when you think about it, that he's probably had like a sort of a disappointing season, really. Like, you know, given the amount of goals he scored last season, Sterling, you would have thought, if you said he'd struggled to get the double figures in the Premier League, you actually might have thought City, if that was just a stat in isolation, you think, well, maybe that means City haven't had an amazing season. You know, they haven't had a great season, but that's not the case at all. I mean, they've really spread it around, and this is why they are where they are. And it's interesting. I mean, Pep there is obviously you know, it doesn't matter what manager you are or how great you are, like, there's still a defense mechanism mode that you have to kick into eventually. And he, you know, he's sort of realizing, oh, maybe if I buy, I don't want to sort of destroy my own legacy here by saying this is something that I need to do, when everyone from the outside obviously knows that this is probably to an extent what the project is going to be judged on. So, I mean, this is an opportunity. I mean, the league is done and dusted. They've avoided or any injuries they've had, they've managed to get people back. And they're in a situation here where they're not sort of coping with mad congestion. Like, you look at, for example, you know, Real Madrid are the sort of a classico between the two Liverpool games and a very tightly contested title race. And even Liverpool, as you mentioned, have the sort of top four thing going on. Whereas City, of all the teams up there, really, you know, they can really focus on this, and that's why it's such a stunning opportunity.
Mm. And the quadruple. That's not, you know, I'm sure.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's we always think Spurs are going to screw it up, but but actually, we're just winning something eventually. But it's all there for them.
Return for ladies' Gaelic football, Rich.
Yeah, the LGFA has set a May 23rd date for the start of this year's Lidl Ladies National Football League. They've become the first Gaelic Games body to commit to a resumption date after the government greenlit inter-county trainings return from April 19th. Last year's All-Ireland finalists Dublin and Cork have been grouped together in Division 1B. There'll be three rounds of group games played on consecutive weekends from the 23rd of May, and the final is penciled in. Finals across all four divisions, I should say, penciled in for June 27th.
Masters, so tee times have been announced.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy is going to begin his quest to win the Masters in the company of two of the world's top six. He's been grouped with John Rahm and Xander Schauffele for the opening round at Augusta. They'll go out at 3:42 p.m. Irish time on Thursday. Shane Lowry won't go out until just after 5:45, and he's grouped with Justin Rose and Matt Kuchar. World number one Dustin Johnson will begin the defence of his green jacket alongside Lee Westwood and last year's US amateur champion Tyler Strafacki. Bryson DeChambeau will begin his week in the company of Adam Scott and Max Homa.
Who do you like, Dan?
It's sort of hard to know. I was looking at the tee times there earlier and trying to figure out, you know, was there anyone that's going to get a run out of early or anything? But I don't know. It's hard to think Bryson is going to be out of the equation, really, isn't it? You know, just listening to him earlier speaking about, you know, his percentages of where he can hit it long, and I know he's had his issues with Augusta, but you still just think there's a run coming from him, don't you? You know, I don't know, that's just my impression. I'd imagine Westwood will go okay if people are, you know, bigger price stuff. Westwood's in good form, and he's look, it's interesting to hear that. I saw some of the people that are there tweeting suggesting the conditions are going to be quite firm, you know, that I think it was Ewan Murray in The Guardian talking about maybe a lower scoring week, you know, as in a sort of a, say, a lower under, you know, sort of a 10 under sort of week, as opposed to like a birdie fest, you know. But we've seen that Bryson still at times has the power to, like, for all of his power, he still can be very good around the greens too, and his ability to get out of tight situations. So I don't know. There are a few names, but what's your perspective?
I wouldn't be a million miles away from you, and you're right on Bryson. I mean, he won the US Open being the sixth longest. It wasn't really about length. It's funny
pink on that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, big time. And it's funny that that's what prompted McIlroy to go chasing length. Like Bryson, you'd say, is worthy favourite. Dustin Johnson is generally second favourite at the moment. He's been in terrible form. I mean, he can't putt at the moment. And last year, ahead of the Masters, which he won, he was in red-hot form. Basically, he had either won or was in the top five in the previous six tournaments. So he's nowhere near that now. So I think there's a question mark over Dustin Johnson. Wouldn't be as hot on him this time around. Jordan Spieth tends to be next in the pecking order. That's kind of an amazing story, really. 83 starts since his previous win, and he won on Sunday. So the resurrection on Easter happened. And obviously he loves Augusta and plays better there. Even when he's been in a slump, he's played better there than other places. So you've got to give Spieth a huge chance suddenly, which is very exciting if you're a Spieth fan.
Yeah, he's great. He's just like, he's box office. What about Patrick Cantlay? He's another one I sort of was looking at thinking he's due a challenge.
If you were doing a list, you'd probably have him on it.
Yeah, I think he's one that he's just...
Late 20s now, he's in a good place, likes Augusta, was kind of there or thereabouts in 19 when Tiger won. So he's coming force and he's in a decent bit of form. I think he's kind of like 8th, 9th, 10th territory.
Yeah, he's been in contention a few Sundays recently, hasn't he? But he's just... some of his putting some of the days hasn't been great, which would sort of concern you with how people are talking about the week. But I don't know. It's going to be good either way. It'll be good entertainment.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow on the radio. And then, as I said, Golf Weekly all over this. So Paul McGinley was on for an hour this afternoon. Patreon is where you can check that out. Six Nations then, Rich.
Yeah, Catherine Dane insists Ireland can be competitive in this season's Six Nations. Ireland opened their account on Saturday evening away to Wales. The Welsh began their season last weekend with a 53-0 hammering at the hands of France. Meanwhile, England beat Scotland 52-10. Between them, France and England have won 17 of the last 19 championships. The other two, of course, going to Ireland. And scrum half Dane concedes there is a gap between the top two and the rest, but she believes it can be bridged.
It's definitely there. I'm not too concerned again. I'm just worrying about ourselves and what we can do. And there are a few of them given us the resources that we need to perform at the minute. So, you know, the picture might change in a couple of years, and we could be kind of operating out of that semi-professional or professional level like England and France. But for the time being, we're doing great with what we've got. So, yeah, it's not too much of a concern for us right now.
France obliterated a dismal Welsh side, so really Ireland will want to beat Wales this weekend with France to come in their group. We'll talk about that later on in the week. One other thing Rude and Haaland have in common, of course, lads, says Paul, hair bands. And then Paul goes on to helpfully suggest top five players who wore headbands. He's having number five, yeah. Becks.
That's
number
more
four.
Of an Alice band. The hair. Okay, go on.
Yeah, yeah. They're all Alice bands, though, really. Zlatan.
Yeah.
Number three, he has Bale. Number two, right. He has Ronaldinho, although Paul adds in his was more of a headscarf, but it counts. Number one, he has Ronaldo. Yes, he did wear one, says Paul in brackets.
He did, yeah, yeah.
Did Pavel Nedved ever wear one? I'm trying to think.
Nedved had one, yeah.
You'd assume he'd need one, but I'm trying to think, did he actually have one? He did have one, did he? Okay.
I'm fairly sure he had one, yeah.
We're not getting into that anyway.
How about sweatbands across the head? Because that's going back. You've got Steve Foster, play for Brighton. Eric Young, play for Crystal Palace.
They need
to be brought
that's
back.
Going retro. Eric Young, what a shout.
Ray says, you've got to like the early start time for Rory, course in best possible condition. The commentators describe conditions as chilly, which will lead me to checking the weather in Georgia, which will no doubt be in the 60s, says Ray. Another thing is there a thunderstorm coming on Friday, and I was just thinking, there's always thunderstorms out there. Their version of thunderstorms are just heavy rain. They just call them thunderstorms. I find it hard to say that word.
I'm just seeing, Rory's out early, is he? I didn't realise that. I saw that American guy, Will Zalatoris, who's always decent. He's out very early, and I was sort of looking,
Rory's
like
out about 10 a.m. Georgian time. He's out first, meanwhile, Ken Doherty.
Yeah, he's potentially one frame away from a first-round exit at the World Snooker Championship qualifiers. He'll resume 5-4 down to Lee Walker tonight at the English Institute of Sport. They're due back not before 9:30 tonight. The first to six will move through to play Nigel Bond in round two. Already to date, there have been wins for Rod Lawler, Jamie Clark, Si Zhuai and Igor Figueiredo. Valencia, meanwhile, say they're deeply saddened by comments made today by Juan Cala after he was accused of making racist comments towards Mukhtar Diakabi. The Cadiz defender is alleged to have made a racist remark towards Diakabi during Sunday's La Liga meeting of the teams. Diakabi's Valencia teammates followed him off the pitch after the incident, only to later return without the French defender. In a press conference today, Cala claimed he is now the victim of a public lynching and that there is no racism in Spanish football. Valencia maintained their belief in their player, saying together they remain firm in the conviction to fight to the end, wherever necessary, on the matter for the good of football and indeed society.
Okay. Similar theme elsewhere?
Yeah, Slavia Prague's Andre Kudela has been provisionally suspended for one match while UEFA investigate claims that he racially abused Rangers Glenn Kamara. Disciplinary proceedings have been opened against both players following a heated Europa League tie last month at Ibrox. Slavia deny the allegations made against their player and have accused Kamara of assaulting him after the match in Glasgow.
And then... two separate stories. I say it's not often I would link in Cora and North Korea.
Cora Staunton's been included in the 2021 AFLW Team of the Year after another impressive campaign with the Greater Western Sydney Giants. The four-time All-Ireland winner is named among the forwards who made the shortlist. Staunton first joined the Giants back in the heady days of 2017. And as you mentioned there, North Korea has become the first country to officially pull out of this summer's rescheduled Olympic Games. Officials say they won't be sending athletes to Tokyo in order to protect them from COVID-19. It had been hoped the Games could be used to help North and South resume cross-border talks, both sides put forward a joint team at the 2018 Winter Olympics, which were held in Sochi.
Okay. Dan, we do all this research, we work really hard, and ultimately it's headbands that gets the textures coming in.
it's jumped off the page there.
It's just Ian and Terenure. Carl Poborski, the best headbander, says Ian. Diego Forlan for me, says somebody else. And then Jonathan Woodgate wonders somebody else. I would think for sheer gall, David Beckham's wearing of the headband after the Ferguson boot to the face resulting in studs was hard to beat, no?
But are we talking about, sorry, the best headbands or the best players to wear headbands? Sorry. Or is it a separate chart on the quality of headbands?
Don't think too much about this.
What about Jackie Grealish?
I think we're talking about who wore it best.
Oh, are we?
Well, I would have thought so. I would have thought it's a who wore it best, who made the headband work best, not simply a who was the best player to wear one.
I think there's a decent share for Grealish there. When you factor it in with the low socks, the Tony Galvin socks, I mean, he does look good out there.
Yeah, he does look good out there. I'll give him that. Fellas, we're done. Dan, I know you're back for the football show tomorrow evening, so we'll talk to you then. Thanks very much.
Talk to you.
Richie, as ever, cheers.
Cheers. Tom Dunn tonight. I'm in for the big man himself, so that's coming up from 10 o'clock too.
Okay. Playlist done?
Nearly. Nearly.
What mood are you setting?
I'm having a chatty mood because I'm speaking to Constance Keane. She's behind the act known as Fears, and she's also got her own label up and running in London at the moment. So that's pretty much what I'm looking forward to later.
Okay, very good. What's your first song?
Not telling you.
Okay, good. Thanks. Bye. Don't worry, everyone. Tom Dunn back tomorrow, hopefully. No, Richie McCormack, 10 o'clock. Do tune in. So we have Trish Kearney with us between 8 and 9. It's a really good interview, worth sticking around for, I assure you. We have Damian Delaney on the football show at 9. And next up with this Champions League evening about to get underway, Miguel Delaney.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
The OTB Podcast Network.